because it begins with a statement of freedom. We've just come through July the 4th, Independence Day, and that's the day when we celebrate our liberty, our freedom, our release from our overlords there in England and all that. If you didn't know that, that's what it's about. Amen. It ain't about hot dogs and hamburgers and fireworks and all that stuff. Those fireworks are a representation of the battles that took place where men lost their lives in the pursuit of physical liberty, in the pursuit of being able to live under what they deemed as God-given rights that are inalienable. That means they can't be removed from us. They can't be taken away by men because they weren't given by men. God gave us those rights. That's what it's all about. And in Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 1, Paul begins his statement here with an interesting phrase. He says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Man, what a statement. Amen. He begins here talking about liberty, freedom. And I believe that many in our day break a cardinal command that is given in this same chapter where the Bible says to take not your liberty as an occasion for your flesh. See, freedom is an interesting thing because the truth of the matter is you are free in Christ. As a matter of fact, I would say that you are free in Christ to serve Him or not to serve Him. There are consequences attached to your actions for sure, but hear me right here. God is not going to stop you from living your life the way that you want to live it. But the problem is that you cannot experience the fullness of the liberty of Christ until you learn how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Notice the next part of verse 1. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Say, what is the yoke of bondage? Well, it must be the opposite of the liberty of Christ. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Christ gives liberty and everything else brings bondage. I'm saying that this is black and white. There's no gray area here. All things that are in Christ bring liberty into our lives, and all things that are in the world bring bondage into our lives. That's what he's saying right here. And he begins to talk about religious issues in the first few verses of this chapter. Circumcision. And he talks about how if we put our faith in circumcision, then that binds us to be bound by the standards and rule book that was written by those that apply that circumcision to our lives. You understand he's talking about Judaism here. Religious Judaism. He's saying, hey, if you're going to walk in this, then you're going to have to live by the code that they have designed for that. He even says in verse number 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, hey, y'all, you're allowing somebody to come in and put you, take you out of freedom and place you back under the bondage of these religious principles. In verse number 10, he says, I have confidence in you that you be not otherwise minded. He said, hey, I listen, I know you're going to be able to figure this out. Can I say something, church? There's a lot of things that I think about the church that God has allowed me to be the pastor of. There's a lot of things that opinions that I have about the people of this church. But here's what I know and I have learned over time is that the people of Downey's Baptist Church are not ignorant and they're not stupid. Y'all ought to all say amen right there. Say, why is that important? Because it gives me confidence that you can take what God gives you and learn how to apply it to your life to be able to walk closer with Him. Amen. Listen to this. Verse number 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, hey, y'all, you've got freedom. Don't abuse it. Can I tell you something? A lot of the problem that we're having in America right now, you want to talk about America and July the 4th and presidential elections and all this stuff. I mean, listen, a lot of the problem we're having is we've abused our freedom.
Amen.
We've used our freedom to serve our own lusts
rather than using it to do. Look at the back, the next verse right here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
That's what your freedom's about. It's not just about you, it's about those around you.
So what's the solution, preacher? Verse number 16. This is one of the most powerful verses in Scripture.
How many of y'all, hear me out right here. I'm going to get to my message in a little bit. We'll deal with that, all right? How many of you have prayed prayers like this right here? Something like this. God, I just want to do right. Lord, help me to quit messing up. You ever prayed, God, why do I keep doing the things that I'm doing? Am I the only one? I mean, listen, have you ever said, Lord, why do I keep coming up short of the goals that I've set in my walk with you? The answer is right here. Listen to this. This is so powerful.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Wow. I've been swimming around in that verse for years. Because the principle that just got laid out right there is so amazingly powerful. Basically, here's what Paul has said. There is a space in your life that is available to you. That is, let's put it in the space of this rectangle right here. Inside of this rectangle of your life is walking in the Spirit. Outside of this rectangle of your life is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If you're inside of that box, you cannot accomplish anything outside of that box.
Amen.
Think about that. God has drawn a bold barrier here. And His statement is that if you are walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do I avoid the lust of the flesh and walk in the Spirit? Walk, that word walk is interesting. I don't want to get off track here, but we could do about a 9-week word study on that word walk. Because your walk is your life. You understand that your journey is it, that's where you're living at. That's how you, that's everything about you. Your walk is everything about your life.
Amen.
Our walk is supposed to be in the Spirit. Now understand something. If you're saved, the Spirit is in you. Amen?
Amen.
There's a difference between the Spirit of being in you and you being in the Spirit. Now, we've manipulated this terminology a little bit in our day, and I feel I always have to put caveats on things, but let me be clear. Being in the Spirit is not necessarily an outward expression that happens momentarily in your life. I mean, listen, you can lay down on the floor and roll around and scream and holler and get up and say, man, I was in the Spirit. Well, hey, listen, if you was in the Spirit when he's down there, you ought to be in the Spirit when you're back up here.
Amen.
Amen. This is not a temporary state of being. This is not a momentary happening of your life. I understand that there's feelings of the Holy Spirit. We ain't getting in all that. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that a walk in the Spirit is not the same as a moment in the Spirit. A walk in the Spirit is not the same as a visitation of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? I've been sitting in church and the song service getting it going good, or the preaching service getting it going good, and had a visitation of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. And I mean, and you know, holler amen type. You understand? And there's an outward expression of that momentary feeling. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a walk, a life lived in the Spirit of God. That word Spirit, I got to preach on this. Spirit's an interesting word too. Because when we hear the word Spirit, we only think one thing. We think about something you can't see, a spirit as in like a spirit, right? Amen? Amen. Okay, this is teaching and preaching. I'm going to preach a little while teaching right now. Keep your Bibles handy because you're going to need them. God showed me something in the... It's amazing. God will show you stuff in the most unlikely places. I used to race go-karts. He said, where's this illustration going? Stay with me. Now, when I did that, before you go to a race, any kind of race, they give you a rule book. All right? Y'all with me? Say amen. Now, I did not like that. My job as a driver was to get in that rule book and find any way I could manipulate that to give me an advantage over my competition. That's the way I saw it. Say, preacher, that ain't right. Well, I'm just telling you. The phrase in the racing world is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Amen? Like it or not. But here's what would inevitably happen in those type of scenarios. Years ago, somewhere along the line, people began to realize this was what was going on. And so there became a rule that is standard in almost all sets of rules in sporting events. And it's usually the last rule in the book, and it's usually titled something like this, the spirit of the rules. So what does that mean, preacher? That means that the rules are there not to be manipulated, but to be followed. And so to break the spirit of the rules, let me give you an example. I had a friend that used to race cars in the ARCA circuit, which is kind of like amateur NASCAR. So I'm trying to get into the NASCAR circuit. The ARCA circuit is an asphalt racing endurance circuit just like NASCAR. Everybody okay? I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Now, in the rule book of the ARCA circuit, at the time when this man was racing, there was a rule concerning the fuel line on the car, the line from the fuel tank to the carburetor of the car. That's where the gas traveled from the tank to the engine. Everybody with me? Say amen. I'm trying to simplify this as much as I can. Here's what the rule said. The rule said you must have quarter-inch fuel line from your fuel tank to your carburetor. So here's what he did. He took his car and he put about 300 foot of quarter-inch fuel line between his fuel tank and his carburetor. Said, what did that do? Essentially gave him an extra fuel tank. Because once he primed that fuel line up, he had as much fuel in the lines as he had in the tank. He said, what does that do? That means he's only got to stop half as many times as everybody else. And he started winning. And winning and winning and winning. And finally one race, somebody called him out for it. And he got so angry, they said that he went out on the track, pulled the fuel cell out of the back of the car, threw it on the track, and run 10 more laps. So what happened there? Well, they changed the rules to include a measurement for the length of the fuel line, but they still in that process took away some prize money from him. So why'd they do that? Because he may not have broken the rule, but he broke the spirit of the rules. Because his intention in what he did was to circumvent the rules. That's a spirit. That's how you operate. How are you living in this set of standards? The spirit of your life is not an outward physical visitation from God on a certain occasion. The spirit of your life is not Sunday morning only. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if we're going to walk in the spirit, that means that the spirit of our life is lined up with the spirit of God.
Say, what's the result of that? You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I could stay here on this introduction for hours and hours,
but I want you to get something here. We're going to start with these. Let's get to verse number 16.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These things are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Cannot. That's a good word, cannot. Cannot. When I got saved, I may not get to the first fruit today. You might have to come back tonight. Hey, everybody, we have church on Sunday nights. Y'all ought to try coming every once in a while. You might get some.
Listen, when I got saved, I'll never forget this. I've told people this so many times, and it almost burdens me because I know some people don't have this experience. Before I got saved, now my wife's sitting right here, and she'll testify to everything that I'm saying right here. Before I got saved, there was a lot of people that didn't think I had a drinking problem. They thought I was just a party animal. I was a good time. Right, but hear me. From the time I was about 15 years old, I don't think that I ever went a week in my life that I did not get inebriated in some way. I mean, really. And listen, we call it social drinking in our society, but hear me right here. I can guarantee you, from the time I was 15, 16 years old, that a month, 30 days did not pass by in my life without me becoming drunk in some fashion. And the older I got, the more frequent that became. I loved to drink. Now, here's what people say. Well, you don't drink for the taste. I'm telling you right now, I loved it. I liked it. I liked everything about it. I couldn't go without it. How many arguments did we have in our life because I didn't want to go out and eat in a certain restaurant because they didn't serve alcohol? She used to tell me things like, we can't go nowhere without you drinking. When I got saved November 10th, 2013, since that day, are y'all listening to me? Since that day, in my recollection, I have had one alcoholic beverage about 3 or 4 weeks after. I never even thought about it. I didn't even know that God didn't like drinking. A few weeks after that, I got in a situation where that's the only thing that was available when I was thirsty, and I drunk one, and I hated it. You listen to me? He said, what happened right there? God took that from me. I'm thankful that God took that from me, because I couldn't have took that from myself. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about God drawing a bold line in our lives. Just like this verse says.
So that you cannot do the things that you would. Boy, there's some things that we ought to be praying. God, make it where I can't do that. Verse number 18. That's another amazing verse. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under law. We have so many arguments in our churches about law and grace. What's the difference? How does the law work? How does it apply to our lives? But what my Bible says is if you're led of the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, the law doesn't apply in your life at all. What do you mean, preacher? You don't need the law. Why? Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're led of the Spirit, you cannot do the things you would. The law has no bearing in your life because the law is living inside of you. You're operating in the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, as your Bible calls it, rather than the law of the world. Verse number 19 says, so how do you tell the difference, preacher? Let's get into it. Verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Hear me right here. If you're doing things on this list right here, you're not operating in the Spirit because you're operating in the flesh. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Which are these? Adultery. You can't adulterate in the Spirit. Fornication. Say, what's fornication? We've talked about this before. I'm going to say it again. Everything inside of the box. Let's go back to the box. Now the box is marriage between one man and one woman for one lifetime. Are y'all listening to me? Marriage between a man and a biological male and a biological female married together in union before God. That's what's inside this box. Nothing else. Any physical activity, intimate activity. I'm trying to be real sensitive here. Y'all listen to me? Inside of that box is perfectly acceptable. Beautiful and wonderful. All that stuff. Any of that outside of that box, that's called fornication. Amen? Uncleanness. I don't even have time to get into all this. I'm going to just, uncleanness. That means you're doing things you know you ain't supposed to be doing, okay? Lasciviousness. That's more about your motivation of why you're doing what you're doing than just what you're doing. That's when you're operating out of fleshly emotion and motivations. Idolatry, that's putting anything before God. You can't walk in the Spirit. Y'all all right? If you're sitting at home watching a football game instead of going to church on Sunday morning, you ain't walking in the Spirit. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you bishop, apostle, whoever. I don't care if you Billy Graham himself. If you had the ball game instead of church on Sunday, you ain't walking in the Spirit. Call it what you want to. Amen. You can't do both of them things at the same time. If there are things in your life that are bigger than God, you ain't walking in the Spirit. That's called idolatry. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. There's so many forms of that in our world today. So many. We ain't just talking about black magic in here, although I'm against all that too. I'm against the witch culture in our world. Because it's unbiblical. Amen. Bible calls it the sin of witchcraft. Right here, witchcraft's on the list of things you can only do in your flesh, you can't do in the Spirit. You can't have a seance in the Spirit. You can only do that in your flesh. Amen. Amen. Hatred. That's tough. Hatred. We're living in a world filled with hatred.
Hate everything.
I'm going to preach a message one day. Don't be a hater. Don't be hating. Amen. No hatred. Listen to this. You know, by the way, how do you know that you don't have no hatred? Because there's only one thing that hatred can't reside with. That's love. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, it looks like. Variance. That means that, have you ever met somebody that can't get along with nobody? By the way, if you can't get along with nobody, you're the problem. Let me just be clear here. It ain't everybody else, it's you. Variance. There's some people that have variance issues. They always got to be on the opposite side. Always have to be in division with those around them. You can't be in the Spirit living in a spirit of variance. Y'all with me? Emulations. Who you trying to be like? Who you trying to be like? You trying to be like your hero on TikTok? Or you trying to be like Jesus? You trying to be like your favorite football player? Amen. Listen to this. Let's keep going. Wrath. Wrath is not just anger, it's the result of your anger. How do you respond physically as a result of your anger? Strife, same deal as that variance. Strife is you always fighting with everybody. Seditions. Seditions is like, you ever met somebody that's always got an angle on everything? They're always plotting against everybody around them. In our day, the people who live in the world of seditions reside on things like Facebook, Instagram. Amen. I'm talking about, I don't even know what all that is now. Twitter X. Sedition. Always starting something. Always creating a problem. Amen. We're talking about operating in the flesh, what it looks like. You say, what do you say about that person? They're operating in the flesh. And they can't be operating in the Spirit because they're operating in the flesh. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. I got to hurry up. Heresies. That's when you're teaching false doctrine. You know what a person that teaches false doctrine is? A heretic. Mm-hmm. Right. It's just about that simple. Amen. Amen. Bible says you're supposed to mark them, get away from them. Mm-hmm. Hey, but preacher, I like this person that's teaching false doctrine. Hey, look up in here. You better mark them. Mm-hmm. Heresy. Envyings. Wanting what you ain't got. Want what somebody else has got so much that it makes you where you can't appreciate what you've got. I tell you what envy will make you do. It'll make you forget about the blessings of God in your life. Murders, that's obvious. Murders, you don't supposed to kill nobody. Amen. Hey, listen, I've had people tell me, well, what about all them people they killed in Israel? Look up in here. God's so sovereign. If God tells you to kill them, you kill them.
That's right.
Amen. That's pretty much that simple. I don't think y'all got enough sense to realize there's a difference between a murder and carrying out the will of God.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Listen now. And next one. Drunkenness. Listen to me.
Y'all will have to come back tonight to get the first fruit of the Spirit, because this is important. Listen, we're talking about the difference in the flesh and the spirit. Drunkenness is in the flesh column. Are you hearing me? That means that if you're drunk, you can't be in the spirit. You hear me? If you're drunk, you can't be in the spirit. You say, preacher, what about if I just drank a little bit? Well, let me ask you this question. If it takes you 10 beers to get drunk, you drink one beer. Don't that make you 1/10 drunk?
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Hey, listen. Show me where the Bible casts drunkenness in a positive light. Ain't in there.
That's right.
Matter of fact, there's a whole chapter of Proverbs dedicated to talking about how foolish a man looks when he is drunk.
Yeah.
Says he's like one that laughs at the top of a mast. Can't get right. Useless. Drunkenness. You can't be drunk in the Spirit of God. I don't care who you are. Listen to me. It don't work like that.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I don't think God cares. Well, you ain't read your Bible.
That's right.
Amen. I don't like that, preacher. Well, I ain't asking you if you like it. I'm showing you what the Bible says. Drunkenness, that's in the flesh column. Say, preacher, I love Jesus, but I like to drink every once in a while. Well, that's all fine and dandy. I ain't knocking you, but hear me right here. There's one time in your life that I know for sure you ain't operating in the Spirit of God, and that's when you own that alcohol. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm to be honest with you. I know the dangers of my flesh. I don't want to be in the flesh no more. They listen to me. I don't want to create a scenario where I can't help but be in the flesh.
Revelings. That's a pride issue there. I tell you what'll get you out of the spirit faster than anything on this list. Pride.
Amen.
Say, ask me how I know.
Amen. Hey, listen. Hear me right here. Your pride will mess you up.
Amen.
Your pride will make you do things that you wouldn't otherwise do. Your pride will evaporate your walk in the spirit just that quick. You'll go from the spirit to the flesh so fast over your pride.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, go to McDonald's on 301 today. And when you pull around that drive-thru and that girl's standing there at the window and she gives you that look like, what are you doing here? And when she finally opens the window, she says something like, what? And he called me and said, preacher, I'm still walking in the spirit. Your pride will mess you up, friend.
That's a microcosm. I understand that's a small thing, but hear me. You can extrapolate that out onto as big a scale as you want to. Pride will get you in a mess. And such like. That means I don't have to sit here and explain it all to you. You know what the difference between the flesh and the spirit is, okay? Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Let me simplify this for you. I've been preaching it this way for years, and I can't find a better way to say it yet. Let me simplify this for you. All this stuff we're talking about, adultery, drunkenness, fornication, lust, strife, envy, heresy, all this stuff, that's what lost people do.
That's right.
Say, preacher, what is that list? That's a list of stuff that lost people do. That's not what saved people do. That's what lost people do. So when saved people do that stuff, say, what are you doing? You're acting like you forgot that you got saved. You're acting like you don't know God. You're acting like people act that don't know God. You're operating in your flesh.
The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we're going to talk about the next few weeks. Not this morning. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit. Fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is an outcropping of your internal capability. Okay? You plant a seed, a tree comes forth, a plant comes forth, and it's just a plant until it starts bearing fruit. Once it starts bearing fruit, it's not just existing, it's producing things that are beneficial to others around it. Understand the difference? Fruit is that which is born of your of what's on the inside of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Here's the best part of this. Say, what about all that stuff? Check this out. Y'all ready for this? Against such there is no law. You can't be on the wrong side of God bearing the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a statement right there for the ages. If you're going to be saved, you might as well act like you're saved. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This ain't about everybody else. Okay? This study that we're entering into, these fruits of the Spirit, if you don't hear nothing else I said today, I know this is different. Hear me right here. This is not about the person on the pew beside you. This is not about your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents. This is about me.
Amen.
This is about you, Christian. This is about me. If you do not internalize this, you're not going to get anything from it. I'm talking to the Christian that desires to have a walk with God. And I know what your mind is telling you. I don't know if I'm capable of that. I don't know if I'm capable of doing this thing. Here's what I would tell you. God's got you this far. Why don't you just give His way a try? The psalmist said it like this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It's time some of us find out what God can really do in our life. Because there's too many saved people that are operating as if they've never been saved. And they have not begun to experience what God can do in their life. So over the next few weeks, we're going to learn what it looks like to walk in the Spirit by studying the fruit that is produced from that walk. Be here tonight at 6 o'clock. And we're going to start with love. Love is a powerful, powerful fruit. But here's what I'm going to say. None of this over the next few weeks is going to matter unless you make up your mind today that you are willing to receive this knowledge. Some of you just need to today say, "You know what, Lord? I'm tired of walking in my flesh. I'm tired of doing this on my own. I'm tired of operating under my own power. I'm tired of trying to keep myself happy. I want to walk in the Spirit. Help me, Lord, to accept this, to internalize this, and to learn how to walk in the Spirit." A Spirit-filled Christian is more powerful than every soldier on the battlefield.
Amen.
A Spirit-filled Christian can turn the world upside down. But we'll never do that in our flesh. So let's decide today.
want you to stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's